that I encourage you to not think about the can'ts. Don't think about what's going to happen in 5 years from now. That, to me, that's acting out of fear. That's not acting out of hope. We don't know what the future is going to bring. All we can do is look at what's here in front of us. To me, $12 million is a lot of money. If it gives an opportunity for some people now, I think that's what we need to be looking at. The homeless are going to be there anyway. Not to ignore it and say we can't do something is just really putting your head in the sand. They are here. They have needs. I think it's really important to do something with the resources and the opportunities that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Lisa Angelotti. I'm a resident here in Paso Robles, and I too have prep meals occasionally for ECHO, have been for the last couple of years. To the first speaker's comments, maybe we don't get all the $12 million. I don't know. But evidently the people that have been working with ECHO and running ECHO are excited about this and have a great track record, and whatever monies they get, they're going to put to good use. And a kitchen, as you've heard, makes a huge difference. It is where we begin. It is where we get to greet everybody, serve hopefully a warm meal. It's not always warm. Dawn and Heidi are lucky they have cambers that they bring. Not everybody has cambers that they bring to keep food warm. And another important thing is, besides a meal, when you have a kitchen and you can talk to your caseworker, you can go from the passkey. It's going to be a place that's not just going to serve food, but it's going to have the opportunity to teach people how to prepare a meal, how to do it economically, possibly. There are all sorts of other things you can use this kitchen for besides just serving the dinner that are going to allow people to transition from one level to the next level. And that's very important if you want success, because success is what we want. And we're not going to be able to serve everybody in the riverbed all the time. But the ones that want help, to provide as much as we can, I think it's our obligation as a society and as a city. And thank you for listening to everybody and allowing for this opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Public comment? Okay, we'll go ahead and close it. Anyone online?
Yes, sir. Caitlin Beatty.
Okay. Caller, go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay, hello. You can still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. My name's Caitlin Beatty. I am commenting on behalf of the San Luis Obispo County Homeless Services Division. I am the unsheltered program manager for the county. And we are in strong support of the City of Paso Robles IRF Round 5 proposal. I want to also echo what was said earlier about Ashley just being so awesome and doing an amazing job in the year or so she's been here. I know she's built a relationship with me and my other counterparts. So this initiative presents a comprehensive Housing First aligned strategy to resolve the longstanding North Paso Robles Salinas Riverbed Encampment, which is one of the county's most complex and high-impact sites. It's currently home to approximately 75 individuals, and the area faces chronic homelessness, behavioral health needs, water rescues, environmental degradation, and significant public safety risks due to its proximity to the state right-of-way and critical infrastructure. The proposal outlines a coordinated model involving the city's community action team, which I know was mentioned earlier, county behavioral health, ECHO, HASLO, and the coordinated entry system. By delivering intensive outreach, housing navigation, and ongoing case management. So something I've heard mentioned a lot in the comments is that this navigation center at ECHO's campus will have a kitchen, but it is more than just a kitchen. It will be a place for people to connect with a caseworker, whether that is through a meal or through going in and asking some questions, how would I get help, where should I start? So it will be great in that way. We are very supportive of the Moose Apartments, and this proposal overall will reduce environmental and public safety impacts, resolve a high-risk encampment, and create lasting housing opportunities that strengthen the entire countywide homelessness response system. San Luis Obispo County is proud to support this impactful and urgently needed initiative.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Eric, anyone else?
No, sir.
Okay. Go ahead and call the public comment to close and bring it back to council for discussion and or action.
Yeah.
Or to Gregory.
Yeah, I'd like to just say a few things.
Sure.
Our relationship, a lot of people don't understand what Haslow does. I understand what Echo does, and I understand what Haslow really does and what we've accomplished with them in Echo at the Motel 6. And they're an amazing organization because they're able to give us that opportunity for permanent housing. They have the mechanism and it works. They're not the county. It's a nonprofit that takes care of the funding and makes sure the continuum of housing goes on. But the most important part of my comment is going to be, it's the people. It's the volunteers. It's the Ashleys, and Melissa, everybody. Everybody's in this for the same reason, to help the people who need help. And figuring out a way to fund this and fund it in a semi-permanent way, and you always figure out, Haslow somehow figures it out every time. And it's wonderful, because without it, we wouldn't get what we need. And this is what we need. And we have so many committed community members that are part of this process, and the helpers, all the speakers that do all the meals. It's just a heartfelt giving of their lives to help somebody just get a step up. And I'll make a motion after other people make comments, but I just want to say that the state of California came down here after we opened Haslow Motel 6 with Echo, and they gave us the gold standard for a great example of a community and organizations that can provide housing and success for those who want to step up. And so I just want to thank you to Haslow for that. Thank you to Echo and Wendy for that. And all of your volunteers are wonderful. And I want to say thank you. And Floyd Butterfield says the same thing. He's just not here tonight. So,
Councilman Bausch.
So I appreciate the comments, the folks that came up. I'm trying to wrap my head around how the kitchen, this is the first I've heard about the kitchen part of this. Does that impact our application? Is that part of our application, or is that separate funding in conjunction with the $12 million application?
So we're building the navigation center, and we're taking that opportunity to make that a flexible space by incorporating the commercial kitchen component. Obviously, that's really important to the folks in the room today.
Absolutely.
And we definitely understand that. Primarily, in the application, we're focusing on the navigation services that we're going to be able to provide, which is part of what is really what the application is looking for, is making sure that we are reaching out to our community, getting them enrolled in the continuum of care, and making sure that they're set up for the next step. That kitchen and that space where people do come together does happen to be sometimes the first place where people will connect for services and accept services. So we do recognize the importance of that component.
Okay. Thank you.
In addition to that, Senator John Laird has appropriated $150,000 to this structure through ECHO. So we will be leveraging some of that support as well to complete and braid some of that funding into this process.
Thank you for the clarification.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? I was just going to mention, too, this is a great opportunity to bring some of all of our tax dollars back to Paso Robles. You know, hopefully we're going to be successful in this grant. But, again, it's helping us in our quest, you know, giving them a hand up instead of a hand out. And that's really what it's about, I think, at this point. So we can make that happen.
Mayor Hammond.
Go to Gregory.
I'd like to make I move that we approve Resolution 26XXX, authorizing the Community Services Director to submit an encampment resolution funding Round 5 application and execute all documents necessary to apply for, accept, and administer the grant.
Second.
Okay, a motion by Gregory, second by Beal. Discussion? Call for the question, Mary.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And thank you all to the speakers who came tonight. Michelle, Wendy, Ashley, Angelica, well done. Appreciate it. You're good. Thank you. Discussion item number 2, approval of goals, initiations, and operating and capital budget for fiscal years 2026, 27, and 27 and 28, and the appropriations limit for fiscal years 2026 through 27.
Mayor, I'll kick it off as Ryan and David are coming up to the podium. This tonight marks our final step in the city's 2-year budget development process. As we look back over the last several months, this marks the 9th meeting that includes either a budget or a goal-setting discussion. Of course, as we've talked about throughout the last few meetings, this budget cycle was very different from several of our past budget cycles and presented some unique challenges as our revenues were plateauing and are projected to continue to plateau. I really want to recognize staff, many of the department heads that are in the room tonight and their teams for stepping up and really bringing forward budgets that adapted to this more constrained fiscal environment. Wanted to also recognize both City Council and staff for embracing a new strategic planning format. I know there were certainly some starts and stops on the process, but overall I think it sets the organization up for success over the next 2 years by establishing some very clear priorities, some accountability and measurable outcomes, as Mr. Malowitz will talk about in a minute. Despite the leaner budget, we are able to maintain current service levels and advance key initiatives. We're able to invest in public safety, local road repairs, major infrastructure projects, again, all while recognizing a much leaner environment. We have fully funded reserves, and we're able to keep those at the City Council target policy level. And so with that, I hope I didn't steal too much thunder, but I did want to also thank Ryan and David in particular for their leadership in both of these elements of our budget process. So with that, I'll turn it over to them to take us home.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. City Manager. Ryan Cornell, Admin Services Director. Again, here to approve the budget report for the next two years. So it's been a long road coming. As I mentioned a couple meetings ago, this has been probably one of the most challenging budgets as far as having available resources to expand and grow. But at the same time, this is probably the most comprehensive budget that I've produced. And I'm gonna kind of show you some of the different sections and a little bit of changes that have been made to this budget report than in years past. I'm not going to spend too much time on this slide right here because Mr. Chris Huot did steal a little bit of my thunder and talked a lot about these different points. But just to kind of reiterate, we do have labor agreements that are established for the next 3 years. So the personnel components of the budget is pretty solid and known at this time. We are continuing to invest in public safety through measures J20. That includes the construction of the training center and the Union Road Station. We also have investments in infrastructure. I kind of did two slides on accident there, but $25 million is appropriated to road maintenance over the next 2 years, in addition to the about $40 million that's already budgeted. So really, we have a lot of dollars that are programmed to the roads. We just need to get under construction. As Mr. Hewitt mentioned, with revenues flattening, staffing adjustments have been very modest. We're recommending less than 2 full-time equivalents, all coming out of the supplemental sales tax fund in the police department. We do have the spaceport license, our consultant work programmed in there so that we could expand our economic resiliency, as well as the visual arts in public places, the $50,000 per year to help grow and expand that program. And then as Mr. Hewitt mentioned, we are meeting all of our minimum reserve policies at 30%, as well as that Section 115 trust, which is another $11 to $12 million that's tucked away there. As Mr. Hewitt mentioned, this is the 9th meeting that we've had when it comes to budget discussions and goals. Here's a little bit of a quick little timeline. Here, starting back in November time, ramping up pretty significantly in April and May, and then here we are to adopt the budget. The budget is broken down into 8 sections. I like to think that each one of these sections can be read in a standalone document. It depends on what the reader is looking for. If the reader is looking just for a very high overview of the city, what it does, its annual budgets, kind of the themes, where it's going, that's just stay in section 1 under the introductions. If the readers want to actually dive into some fund statements, again, we're getting accounting, that we're getting the actual budget numbers, that's in section 2. But in addition to just providing numbers and schedules, there was actually verbiage, some added clarity to tell the story about what's going on in each one of these funds, both historically and in the future. So each one of these fund schedules have 5 years in the past of history and 5 years forward-looking, with the first 2 years of the forward-looking being this two-year budget. Moving on, section 3 is authorized positions. So if anybody's interested to how the city is staffed, every single itemized position is located in that section. We get into department overviews, which gets away from funds and talks more about the departments, kind of what they do, what they have done, and what we're anticipating them to do in the future. Very detailed section of capital improvements, where it breaks down every single individual capital improvement, its funding sources, when we think it's going to go under construction and the like. And then we get into kind of the latter sections, where if we really want to get deep in the budgets, where I kind of like it's almost like the second side of a vinyl album track or whatever, right? We get some of the deep tracks with the interfund transfers and long-term debt. Those are shown there too. But then more importantly is the appendices, which is the last section. And it's kind of a catch-all. We throw some resolutions in there, fiscal policies, acronyms, glossaries. But one thing I did add to the document this year was how to read the budget document. And so there is about 4 pages that really try to break this down into bite-sized, chewable pieces with examples and the like on the right-hand side. So those are on pages 214. To 217. So this is a new piece of it. I thought about putting it in the front of the budget book, but it kind of didn't really fit. So, but it is there as the first part of the appendices. And then similar to what we did 2 years ago, we will produce a budget in brief. It's about an 8 to 10 pager that kind of really summarizes the budget book. The budget book is 250 pages, so it is a little bit of a beast. I'm just going to go really briefly over some of these different sections and then get out of the way for budget adoption. So the first part of the budget report is the city manager messages. So that is the kind of that 10,000 foot level of kind of where we're at and where we see the economy kind of going. The next two sections, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Dave Malowitz to talk about the goals and initiatives, but we put the goals and priorities and the work plans right at the front of the budget document so that the reader again knows, understands what the city is planning on doing over the next couple of years. With that, I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to turn it over to Dave to kind of talk about the strategic plan and work plan, and then I'll jump back in.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, Ryan. Mayor, members of council. Yes, as you can see, we finally wrapped up the strategic work plan. As Ryan mentioned, this is part of the budget package, so one of the things that you'll notice in the recommendation is to approve the entirety of the budget. This is a component of it, so it's not a separate piece that you're approving individually. It is a part of the entire budget package. Just wanted to make that clear because there wasn't, just so everybody understands. Additionally, by adopting this, you are adopting that vision statement that you guys so eloquently put together, and it will be what we use as staff as a foundation for how we develop our services, how we manage our departments, and what service levels we put out to our community. So that is the guiding document. That is what we use as staff to make sure that we're making sure that we meet all the demands and vision that the City Council set forth for the next 2 years. In the final document, in your packet, you'll notice we made it very pretty. So Jacob Green and Associates did a really good job at taking everything that we'd worked so diligently together on, packaged it up, made it look really good. We didn't make significant changes on anything. We made minor tweaks, but what we had was very, very good. We incorporated all the comments that were made from the City Council and from the public. Particularly, there's one of importance, and our folks from CapSlow were here. We used their studies and what they did, and we incorporated that into the housing component. We heard that that was an important part of what council wanted to do, is make sure that we are continuing the affordable housing track, and then we are doing the best that we can to make sure that we have available housing options for all of our community members. So those goals are in there. That was an important part of council. We heard you. We wanted to make sure it was in there. So that is in the economic development section. Additionally, I wanted to point out, this is another one that has continually brought up community interaction and comments on, is establishing the downtown alley beautification project. So that is still in there. That's Paul in within the community economic development. We'll be working with Warren and his team to move that ball forward. We still continue to get questions and calls on what's going on with the alleys, when are we going to start this program. So I want to let you all know we hear it, we put it in the strategic document, and we're going to make sure that that becomes a reality in the next 2 years in one shape, form, or another. But great job. Really proud of all the staff members, the directors, everybody that was part of this process. As City Manager Hewat mentioned at the beginning, this was a team effort. We started this back in November, if you recall, and here we are today with the final document to guide us. And as City Manager Hewat mentioned in one of our other work sessions, this has gone through iterations throughout the years, and we're getting better and better each time we do it. So we're proud to present it to you. We're proud to have this as part of the budget. And we as staff members look forward to completing these goals and initiatives to the best of our ability and continuing to work with you guys for the next 2 years. So thank you.
Okay. Great.
One more thing, sorry. We will be providing quarterly updates on this as well. So this isn't one of these things that we put in, we vote it, and we don't hear about it again. We're going to be bringing this back. This will be brought before you in quarterly updates to let you know where we are, and we'll keep the pulse on it for the next 2 years.
Perfect. Thank you, David.
And then lastly, the on section one, we have been over the last several budget cycles submitted our budget to the Government Finance Officers Association for Distinguished Reporting Awards, and so we plan to continue to do that again this year. Moving on to section number two, this is where you actually get into the numbers, the piece of it. The how to read the budget kind of explains why we do fund accounting, the difference in budgeting for fund accounting versus the private sector. But this really is your 10,000 foot level, and then we get into a little bit more detail with funds, so all the operating funds, the general fund, water, supplemental sales tax, the sewer and the like, and it kind of goes breaks down into even further revenue sources, what revenue types, what expenditure types, what divisions and the like. And again, like I mentioned, it does look 5 years in the past and 5 years into the future. I think it's a pretty good context. The next piece of it is just taking a look at just department specifics. So we don't necessarily care about the funding source or how they're spending the money. We just want to know what they're doing or how what they've been doing the last past year. And so each department, so we have 8 departments, from City Manager's Office to my department in Admin Services, Police, Fire, Public Works, right, and the like, all broken down by department highlights, year in review, kind of division overviews, budget overviews, staffing trends, and organizational assessments and the like. Yes, sir.
Skip section three intentionally.
It's I kind of mentioned in the intro, it's personnel related items, and it just lists each individual employee, some his staffing trends. And I think actually it is exciting because I think if you recall in April time, we had that slide on up here where we showed positions in 2008, and right, and finally in 2022 we got to 2008, I'm sorry, staffing level, so that was quite impressive. Next session is capital approved. The capital improvement program. We take a 5-year outlook when it comes to CIP, and so we track these in kind of different project types, with road maintenance kind of being the top of mind, but we have a lot of transportation projects, parks and rec, facilities, and the like. Each individual project has its pretty much its own individual page that talks about the project description, the amount, and the funding sources. I'm going to skip 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So with that, Mr. Mayor, the total uses, the total overall budget for the city for the first year, 26-27, is $493,200. And in the second year, it decreases just slightly to
$147 million,
right?
Huh? $147,249,000. Yeah, I missed the speaker. So that's the budget. And then as far as the typical recurring action is the GAN limit. The GAN limit is a calculation the state requires the cities to do to make sure we're not overtaxing our citizens. And so the GAN limit this year is $74.5 million. It's about 13.7 under that limit is the actual revenue that's subject to it. So we're about 82% of the GAN limit today. Okay. So with that, Mr. Mayor, happy to answer any questions, go into a little further detail or whatever. Great. The council's pleasure.
Thank you, Ryan. Questions of Mr. Cornell?
Yep. I'd like to have Mr. Malowitz come up and read the mission statement to us, please.
Mission statement.
I am so glad you asked that, because actually when I sat down, I was like, I literally had that mark. I was like,
it looked like you were going to say it. So
my fingers were not working with me. So absolutely. The vision statement from the City Council reads as follows. To sustain a safe, vibrant, and resilient community that preserves Paso Robles' unique character while advancing economic vitality and a high quality of life for residents, businesses, and visitors.
Thank you. Great. Good. Sounds good.
And I don't you think the budget does that quite nicely?
I do. Absolutely. Okay. This gentleman here has worked very diligently to ensure that it does. So thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions, Council? Councilman Beal.
I want to acknowledge the work in sort of aligning the goals, the objectives, the work plan, and the budget at every different level, and recognize we've got like short, medium, and long-term things going on here. So I think it ties together really well. I like the new process. We've been working. It was a cold, rainy day in November when we started this. You remember? I think, you know, a lot of things, actually, most of the things have been sort of incorporated through our multiple conversations. We've had several meetings on this. Can you go to your slide? Or no, you probably, it's not on your slide. I have a note of it. On page 10 of the budget doc, it has the kind of picture graphic of the different goals. And under the economic development goal, there's the line item around local procurement. And it came up in November. It's been coming up every time. There's been a lot of consensus around it. I think it's really important to have that explicitly identified in the work plan. And I thought it was going to go back in there, but I don't see that it's gone back in there. And so I'd be curious what my colleagues think. And
yep, I totally agree with that. I mean, it's something we've been talking about for a while, but I think it's important that we get this consensus through council and get it into the document somehow, so this is what we want to kind of see happen. So.
And it could be something as simple as, and you could probably come up with some words, but identify opportunities to invest public procurement dollars in local businesses, like just identifying. I think it's especially well-timed right now with the reorganization or the organizational assessment of public works and community development. So of course it's in Paul's department and he's not here. So I think all the more reason we should add it to the document.
Absolutely, that is one of the ones that we did add. It's in the goal 6, efficient and effective governance.
Did I miss it? Is it in governance?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and read it for everybody. It's part of the develop and implement a coordinated public information outreach plan to improve transparency, consistency, and community engagement across all communication platforms. And it reads, enhance outreach and communication regarding city public bidding opportunities by increasing awareness of upcoming projects, exploring workshop opportunities to help local contractors to better understand city bidding and procurement processes. And the underlying goal with that is to get the information out more, especially to our local companies, so that they understand how to put bids in, how to, you know, how the process works, what addendums look like. And that's where the workshop component comes in. And along with our management analyst, who's working diligently on our communication, we'll develop that through the coming year. City manager?
I apologize.
No, you're good. You're good.
It's too small.
Yes.
But thank you. So, I mean, does everybody feel okay that that's sort of capturing it and we can kind of follow up?
using local trades as much as we can. That's just for sure. That's
yeah, absolutely. So thank you apologies.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
We need magnifying glass.
We need a magnifying glass. It's right there.
Any other questions from council? Okay, then we're going to open up then to public. Anybody have a question on this item, please come forward. Okay, bring it back to council. Do we have anybody online?
No, sir.
Okay. So we'll bring it back to council for direction and action.
Mayor Hammond.
Pro Tem Gregory.
I move that we approve resolution 26XXXA, adopting the operating capital improvement budget for fiscal years 26-27 and 27-28 as presented for all funds expenditures and direct the city manager to implement the budget.
Actually, can I say something now before
discussion.
We move forward?
Yeah.
Now that I'm really focusing in this small print, I just want to read this again and make sure we're clear on it. I'm not sure if it sort of reflects my thinking of the local procurement issues. Enhance outreach and communication regarding city public bidding opportunities by increasing awareness of upcoming projects and exploring workshop opportunities to help local contractors to better understand city bidding and procurement processes. I think that's excellent work. I think that's important work. I'm not sure if that says we'd like to see, you know, we have a preference for local hire. You get extra points on your bid if you have X number of local jobs. And I know that there's a lot of different ways to sort of get there, and I don't want to prescribe where we're going, but I'm not sure that this actually gets us more local hire.
Maybe a question for Chris Huat or the legal counsel on how we can handle this.
Maybe I just make a quick comment. So as we were reviewing the council's comments around this particular item, staff didn't necessarily hear that there was a desire to comprehensively revisit our local policies around local contracting, in that if that's the case, then we can certainly substitute language here that says, you know, that the city council would like staff to review our local our local contractor and vendor procurement policies and bring those back for further discussion and review. We're happy to do that. Staff's thought here was we could first start by better educating and engaging with our local contractor community to ensure that they are aware of our processes and our procedures. But if there's certainly room here, if there's a majority of the council that wants to amend the language, we can certainly do that.
Point of order, we have a motion and a second on the floor.
Okay, we'll hold that, but.
So we're in discussion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's discussion.
Yeah. Okay. As discussion, I would say, I don't think that the budget document is the right place for that. That's in council policies. And that's in goals and policies, not budget. It has nothing to do with dollars and cents. It has to do with procedures.
I think your comments are well-intended, Councilmember Beal. I think the language that Mr. Malowitz read broadens the opportunity for local contractors to get involved should they want to get involved. When we've taken this up before at the school board and here locally, some contractors, as much as they want to be involved locally in that bidding process, they're not qualified for a variety of reasons, and so they don't bother to bid. I think educating themselves of what is available makes sense. I think this is a great first step, but I have to agree with Councilmember Strong that this is more of a policy decision that we need to maybe address outside of this. I believe, and I don't know what staff envisions as far as the education process and the outreach process, but I'll trust them to have that best interest at heart. Because you're right, we need to support our local folks. We absolutely have to support them as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, again, let me weigh in on that too. Again, I was discussing, and before with the fact that back in the day, and I know that Warren probably remembers this too, that when we had back in the 2011, 2010, when we didn't have anything going on, we dropped our development impact fees to nothing, basically, to get something happening from building. We ended up seeing a lot of the valley builders come over here buying up the properties and using all their trades, and basically no one benefited from our loss of development impact. So that's, I think, kind of what the intent is here. And I agree that we can certainly do this outside the budget to give staff some sort of a direction that we want to try to encourage local trades, and especially when we have city projects. But even that, you know, when we have private projects going on, that we want to have them give us a list of suppliers and bidders that we see that they're using local, and the intent is to encourage local trade. So that's the only way to do it. So I think, you know, at this point the language is okay with me that they addressed it. I think maybe we can bring this up later with Mr. Huat and try to get some other direction to staff in the future. Chris, what do you think?
Mayor, the work plan that you have in front of you is really where we're going to be spending time and staff time and resources for the next 2 years. So if the council wants to see an update or some policy development around some sort of local vendor preference, I think it would be appropriate to include it in the strategic work plan, again, to give staff, if there's consensus, to give us direction today that you want us to start to work on that in the next couple of years. Certainly, you can always come back later in the fiscal year and say, staff, we want to start looking at this outside of this process. But if we know today that that language isn't precisely what you want to see, or if there's more that you want to see, then I do think it would be appropriate to make that amendment, should the majority of the council want to do so.
I'd kind of like to see where that language takes us. Calendar out anything more specific. I think our local contractors deserve to weigh in on it too. Sometimes we have grants that are very specific on what and who can bid on something because of either specialized equipment, etc. No need to go into all the nuances here tonight, but I'd like to see that language take root and see where it goes, and if we need to, come back with something more robust with more teeth.
And I probably failed to mention too, what we envision was these workshops or these engagements with local contractors, not only educating them about the city's process, but also gaining some feedback about our process as well.
Yes.
So there would be that opportunity for two-way dialogue. Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So any other discussion on the motion?
I appreciate Mr. Hewat's comments about like this being an appropriate time if we agree on this to provide direction, because this is 2 years. This is the staff's marching orders and with clear direction about what matters to us and what doesn't matter to us. And I know that over the course of the 6 months, there has been significant consensus around the value of investing public dollars that we receive, tax dollars from our people, and having that go back into the community, into local businesses, that those dollars recycle over and over. And I think that this is the right time. Again, there are a lot of different ways to accomplish that. I don't think I think there's value in kind of these educational meetings with vendors and contractors to share information. I think there's value in that. But that does not get us any closer to saying what would it look like if we wanted to hire more local people? What are the different forms that could look like? And so I think it's important to have something more specific in here to provide marching orders for the staff to explore, to report back to us about what some of our options are. And again, this has an economic benefit to our community. We've talked about it over and over, and I think this is the right place to put it in the document.
Okay. Any other discussion then on the motion that we have up on the table?
No.
Okay, we'll call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Yes.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Vote passes unanimously.
Thank you. Again.
So, Chris, you have the staff direction to look into it. Chris, okay. Okay. I move to approve resolution 26XXXB, declaring necessity to incur bonded indebtedness of proposed City of Paso Robles Community Facilities District. Oh, wait a second. I'm reading the wrong thing.
Yeah, you're on number two.
It rolled down the hill here. Hold on. Sorry. Approve resolution 26XX. Too many 26XXs.
Yeah.
Anyway, adopting the $74,517,600 as the city's appropriations limit for the fiscal year ending in June 30th, 2027.
Second.
Okay, a motion by Gregory, second by Strong. Discussion? All right, we'll call for the question, Mary.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good. Okay, moving on then, we have city management report. Mr. Huat.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Three items tonight. First, about a week or change ago, we had a pretty significant intrusion on a 10-inch water line at Creston and Niblick. Major intersection, shut down traffic. I just wanted to give a special shout out to a variety of different staff from the Utilities Department, Police, Fire, Public Works, City Manager's Office, and others who really stepped up and helped with traffic control and repairing the issue, getting water customers notified, and all the above. It really was a team effort, so I just wanted to recognize and thank everyone. Those things happen, and they're inconvenient, and in this case, though, all ended well as we were able to get that repaired and water back and restored. I also wanted to let the public know that earlier this week, we were able to get the Spaceport RFP on the street. This is the RFP that was authorized by this council back at your March meeting where you met with the Airport Commission and the Planning Commission. This RFP is seeking consultants or a consultant to help with the final steps, the final paperwork and documents that are necessary to obtain a spaceport license for the Paso Robles Airport. We envision getting the recommendation to you for a contract probably in September. And then from there, we're estimating somewhere between 18 to 24 months to see that process through and get us to the finish line, which is pretty amazing to be at this point considering where we were at 4 years ago. And then just staff wanted to let you all know, I think on your upcoming slides, you're going to talk about future city meetings. And just note, we had a late cancellation of the airport commission meeting, so that will not be held on the 25th. That meeting is canceled. So I just wanted to note that, and thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Council business and committee reports. I'd like to start.
Thank you. I just have one thing. I was invited to give a brief talk at a high school graduation with the Field Institute, and a lot of these people were adults, parents, farm workers, and they were receiving their high school diploma after 2 years, in some cases 4 years, where they took night school all this time, and it was just a really beautiful thing, and I just want to acknowledge that, and because I know a lot of people here do a lot of work in different educational opportunities, and it is powerful. So here's to the graduates.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Councilman Bausch.
I have nothing to report.
All right. Councilman Strong.
Yes, I do have a few things to report. Last week, I spent 4 days in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at a conference nationally on housing, economic development, and transportation. And I'm pleased to say I sit on that board of directors representing all the cities of the United States, and that's the board for all the regional governments of the United States. And we are all working together on transportation bill with the House. So the House version of the House of the Transportation Reauthorization has now changed so that there will be more automatic money coming, less grant money. You don't have to go after as many grants, because instead that money will be automatically given to you so that our region can then make the determination as to who gets how much. And for specific projects, we make that decision ourselves. So it means it will greatly increase the City of Paso Robles money available for transportation and infrastructure. And if it passes, both the House and the Senate and the President signs the bill. If not, then it's somewhat in doubt. But right now, they're listening very much to our joint efforts between the organizations at the national level, which is very encouraging.
Would that be routed through SLOCOG then? Is that how the...
The money would go to SLOCOG, through SLOCOG, through us. Okay? And also there would be some that come directly to us without going through SLOCOG. Mm. But the big difference is how much theirs would be increased. And secondly, I chaired yesterday a meeting of the rail board for our Pacific Surfliner Railroad. And in that one, we did have a tremendous problem with one of our members not understanding our own rules and trying to change who is going to run the railroad. We were able to defer any consideration of that particular item to a date to clarify to them the rules that we do operate under, because they had 14 paragraphs that had totally wrong information. One paragraph that just gave their minimum qualifications for the job. So it was just an individual agency out for their own interests. Unfortunately, they've also convinced a state senator that their information is correct, and the state senator is pressuring us also for word. Communicating directly with the state senator to make sure that things get straightened out. Beyond that, we did have a discussion item on Senate Bill 1098, which is going to give us a whole lot of new rules, and is asking for our comments on them by a date certain, which was July 1. July 1 doesn't work because we don't have any meetings by then. So we went back to the administration for that, and got their permission to submit beyond that date to as late as August 1. And if we submit in that time, they will then take it into consideration as an addendum. So we're moving ahead, and those are my reports for this time.
Thank you, Fred. Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, I had the good fortune of spending some time with Mr. Hewitt at Visit SLO. And we both noticed a few things, like Firestone's making a beer for them, with Paso Robles prominently named there, and they've actually recognized the Beer Fest and Censorio. So they actually had a booth at the Beer Fest. So something's going on with Visit SLO. Probably they want a renewal or something, but whatever. It's all good. And then I just want to say, I think you should all go downtown in the park and walk around at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night or a Saturday night. I was so entertained by so many young kids. Like, there's a group of boys that there's a guy in a cowboy hat playing music, and they go, "Can we play a song?" So these kids came up and sang this really nice, beautiful song. One played the guitar. So there's a lot of really nice music, and there's so many people enjoying our park at nighttime. It's such a great extension of our community. So it's nice to see it work. So, and other than that, everything's good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Steve. For me, I basically had a few things. I did a radio interview with KNews San Luis, and then the 5th annual Safety Fest, which was great down at the park. They used the east half of the park this time. I think it was very well done. And then we also had, of course, the integrated waste management meeting that I did. Also, I attended my own mom's 99th birthday over the weekend. That was pretty cool, too, and great to see her make it that far. So that's all I had personally.
Mayor Hammond?
Sure.
If you're done. Just two things for future consideration. We had two items come up tonight. J6, we talked about our senior center. I think we've all kind of talked a little bit about our endowment. That needs some attention. Can we bring that back on a future agenda item?
Yeah, I think that would be good if everybody's good. I think I mentioned to Chris that used to be Rotary used to put that on to bring it up, and it's time that maybe some service clubs step up again and maybe make that happen again. That's
Thank you.
Something we can talk
and
about.
And then somebody brought up the data center. I know some cities are taking poison pill options about data centers. It might be good to just bring that back and just get legal's opinion on what some of our options are. Agree with that?
No consensus on that to bring it up on agenda item, or at least a discussion on it. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on, then, we have upcoming events. Tomorrow night, actually, tomorrow afternoon, at 4:30, we have the Community Service Advisory Body's special joint recognition meeting here at Centennial, 4:30. Then we have city office is going to be closed in observance of Juneteenth Day, and that's going to be on the 19th. Development Review Committee is going to be the June 22nd, 4 p.m. Planning Commission meeting here in this room on June 23rd, 6:30. As Mr. Huat said, we have the Pass Robles Airport Commission is going to be canceled for June 25th, 2026. Coffee with the City, Roads, Transportation, and Infrastructure, June 26, 7:30 at Cal Coast Beer at the Patina Room. DRC, Development Review Committee again, June 29th at 4 p.m. Paso Robles Youth Commission, Advisory Committee meeting July 1st at 5 p.m. City offices are going to be closed for Independence Day, July 3rd. And I expect everybody will be at the July 4th fireworks in Barney Schwartz. Development Review Committee is going to be back again at July 6th, 4 p.m. Library Trustees, Board of Trustees, July 9th, 9 a.m. Paso Robles Senior Citizens Advisory Committee meeting, July 13th at 1:30. Again, Development Review Committee is at July 13th, 4 o'clock, downtown City Hall. Paso Robles Parking Recreation, Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee meeting July 13th at 4 p.m. Next Planning Commission meeting is going to be July 14th at 6:30. Development Review Committee again, July 20th, 4 p.m. And then our next City Council meeting is going to be in the, here in Norris Room, July 21st, 6 p.m. And I believe that makes all the announcements, that a lot of them, that we're going to be here. Any other further discussion from council? Okay, looking for adjournment?
Move to adjourn.
Can we have a motion by Gregory and second by Bausch? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to tonight's Paso Robles City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled program in progress. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
I still voted straight Republican and was able to retire with that full, I've been on full pension since I was 56 years old, and I'm still drawing it every month. It equals the same as my Social Security.
That means you're okay with it as long as you're blissfully ignorant of where your union was spending your money. You're still okay with that.
Well, whatever it is, it should benefited me and thousands of other people.
Can you tell me how the Teamsters giving giant amounts, hundreds of millions of dollars over the years to the Democrats, how did that benefit you?
Well, it paid for my insurance for dental work 100%.
I'm not talking about insurance. I'm not talking about your pension. I'm talking about the political donations. If you voted Republican, was there a reason you didn't vote Democrat?
Well, I'll tell you, if I voted Democrat, look what the positions have. They're so anti-everything now at this moment. So don't give me that just because of the dirty politicians. We're going to find that on both sides of the aisle.
I think there is dirt on both sides of the aisle. I'll admit that. But if there's a reason you voted Republican, was that you thought the Republicans better represented you. But your union financially supported the Democrats that you said you would not have voted for because you didn't think the Democrats represented you, but your union took your money and spent it on Democrats. I'm just asking, how did that benefit you? You cast a single vote. Your union took probably $10,000 or $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month, or sorry, $100 a month, $1,200 a year, and they took most of that money and they gave it to the politicians you disagreed with. I'm wondering how you think that benefited you.
Well, because I was able to retire the policies wherever it was, where I was still.
Couldn't you have had just as 100% good a pension if your union had given money to Republicans who then went and made laws and passed tax policies that were more friendly to conservatives?
They were for me at that time.
But you didn't even know where your union was spending your money, did you?
Well, I was aware of it, that they would voted for the Democrats and all.
I want to ask you something, Dan. Are you married or were you married?
I was. My wife passed away 13 years ago, 3 days of our 58th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations on 58. That's an accomplishment. But let me ask you something. If you had told your wife, hey, I don't want to deal with the political donations, and so you said to your wife, take the money we're going to give to politicians and you decide where you wanted to go. If you found out one day that your wife took money and gave it to Democrats, what would you have said to her?
Regardless of what you're saying, I still did, and it benefited myself and hundreds and thousands of other Teamsters.
Well, that's an interesting point of view. Dan, good naysayer. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, a little reminder, Father's Day is coming up, and if you don't know what to get your dad, I've got the perfect solution. Skip the random last-minute gift and give dad something he'll actually use, something I've already got, the Chef IQ Sense Smart Thermometer. This thing connects to your cell phone, your smartphone, tells you exactly when your food is done. No guessing, no cutting into a steak to see if it's ready. It tracks your cooking in real time and walks you through every step. Tells you when to flip, when to pull, when to rest, and when to serve. It turns I think it's done into I know it's perfect. And that's why dads like me love it. Whether you're cooking steaks, burgers, chicken, fish, or just about anything else, Chef IQ Sense helps deliver restaurant quality results right in your home. It works on the grill, in the oven, on the smoker, whatever you happen to be cooking. And best of all, you don't have to babysit your food. You can watch the game or spend time with the family, and your phone lets you know when everything is ready. It's like having a personal cooking coach right in your pocket. And right now, during the Father's Day sale, you'll get 40% off site-wide when you use my name, Lars, L-A-R-S. Yeah, my parents had a sense of humor. Go to chefiq.com and use promo code Lars for 40% off site-wide. That's chefiq.com, promo code Lars.
Lars Larson Show.
Brought to you by Central Coast Tractor Work. Trenching, demolition, mowing, excavation, and more. No job is too small. Clear tonight and overnight, lows in the low 50s. Sunny on your Wednesday, cooler, low 80s, mid 70s Thursday. Weather was brought to you by Central Coast Tractor Work. Call 805-440-6361.
This is Attorney Dave Duringer of Protective Law Corp. I hope to see you at my free estate planning seminar this Friday in Atascadero. It's also a defensive handgun class. No firearms, just airsoft and laser. All equipment provided, plus free pizza. Sign up at guntrust.org. This training exposes the lies of the politicians, even those who claim to support the Second Amendment. Our right to bear arms is implicit in the American concept of ordered liberty. Therefore, we also have a duty to train, and only your family can be trusted with this duty. To leave a legacy of 23rd century firearm training, your family must begin with 21st century firearm training that exceeds law enforcement.